This morning's Transfiguration Gospel lesson comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, which can be found on page 798 of your pew Bible if you would like to read along. In the passage right before this, or the passages right before this, Jesus has begun to tell his disciples and all who would listen what is to come in his life and ministry, as he has begun to speak about his death and resurrection. As one can imagine, this has made people a bit uncomfortable, because his ministry is just taking off. People are coming to him for healing and to hear what he has to teach and preach. His followers are multiplying. Business has never been better if he were a salesperson. And yet he is coming forward and saying, "My death is coming, and it's not going to be pretty." And so Peter, being the chief disciple, if you will, pulls Jesus aside to let him know he is scaring people. Jesus, you might want to take a different tactic here. People are getting afraid about the way you're going about things. And instead of Jesus seeing this as wise counsel, he looks at Peter, the eager disciple, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." And then begins to get back to the work at hand. And so it has been a time of tension, a time of pain, and a time of heartbreak for Jesus and this disciple who has been right there for him through it all. The one who so desperately wants to get it right. And so Jesus, Peter, James, and John decide they need a moment to get away, to be in the presence of God, and to do some praying. And so Jesus, Peter, James, and John head up the mountain for a time of prayer and discernment. And that is where we find them in this passage from Matthew this morning. So let us listen now for the word of the Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Living in Ohio, one of the things I had not known about before I moved here was how few the sunny days would be. Having lived in sunny North Carolina right before moving here, it was a bit of adjustment to go from almost every day being at least sunny day for part of it to going days, sometimes weeks without a glimpse of the sun. I received a message the other day from my niece who still lives in North Carolina, and she said to me, Aunt, I'll say she calls me Aunt Becky, even though that's not what she calls me, but I don't want my nickname from her to go around. She said, Aunt Becky, are you feeling okay? And I said, I'm actually feeling better than I have in a long time. Why? And she goes, because you look really pale. And I said, oh, my dear Piper, you don't understand. Where I live, there is no sunshine. And this, because she is a teenager and she is in a time of life where everything is about beauty projects, led into a sales pitch about the latest beauty products that can lead to a natural, effortless glow. The beauty products are safe, they are easy, and they are guaranteed to make it look like you have been in the sun with no damage to your skin. And for $19.99, you just slather it on and you will have an effortless glow too. She made it sound like if I did this, I would not look as if I was the palest person ever. This made me think of the passage that we come to this morning on this Transfiguration Sunday. Because we all want the glow to come easy. We all want to look like we are radiating with the glow of a nice, beautiful moment with God. With no work. We want it safe, we want it easy, and we want it guaranteed. With as little price as possible. But we all know that's not how it works. Peter, oh Peter. Peter is the one who always wants to get it right. He loved Jesus the moment he met him. He was out on his boat, and this man comes to him and asks for a ride. And while he's in the boat with him, he says, "We've been out here all night, sir. We've caught nothing." And Jesus, who is clearly not a fisherman, says to him, "Well, why don't you put the nets out on the other side?" And Peter is skeptical, but says, "Fine, what's the harm in trying?" And catches more fish than he knows what to do with. And from that moment on, he is sold on Jesus. He leaves the nets overflowing with fish and follows Jesus without looking back once. And yet, he can't follow Jesus without trying to over-explain or trying to humanize everything that Jesus says to a degree that is more than what Jesus is trying to say. Not even a chapter before, Jesus is sitting with his disciples, and he says to the disciples that are gathered around, "Who do people say that I am?" And they sit there and they say, "Some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you are Moses. Others say that you're John the Baptist." And Jesus sits there and takes this all in, and he looks at them again and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah." And he's right. He has named it. And in that beautiful, beautiful moment, they are connected as a beloved disciple with his master, with his savior, with his Messiah. But Peter can't leave it there. And so they continue on, and Jesus tries to explain to them that this Messiah, what this means, is not what they have been led to believe it will mean from all these years. This Messiah isn't going to be a great warrior. This Messiah is not going to be one who comes in and gives in to the ways of this world. This Messiah is not going to be what the world tells him to be. But this Messiah is going to take down all those things that the world represents and create a whole new world. When the world tells this Messiah it needs to be part of the power structure, this Messiah is going to tear it down. When this world tells this Messiah that it needs to give in to the religious powers, this Messiah is going to show the religious powers all the ways that they are losing sight of God. This Messiah is going to die and be resurrected, so that our sins don't make us part of this world any longer. And as Jesus is trying to explain that this Messiah is going to have to deal with torture, humiliation, and death, it's just too much for Peter to deal with, because he has just called Jesus the Messiah, the one they have waited for, the anointed one, the one they have longed for. And so Peter can't take it. He knows he had gotten it right, but he's afraid that Jesus hasn't. And so he says to Jesus, wait a second. We just connected. Don't go that path. And in that moment, Jesus says, nope. You've lost me. You're going the way of the world. Come back. Not that gently, but that is what he is saying. And that is where the tension comes. Because Peter is lost. He is lost in wanting to be with Jesus, but he wants Jesus to be who he tells Jesus he's supposed to be. He wants Jesus to be the Messiah the world needs, that he thinks the world needs. He wants Jesus to be the one he thinks they have waited for. And so for 6 days, they sit in this tension. For 6 days, things get placed on hold as Peter cannot comprehend what is going on. But 6 days later, Jesus comes to Peter, he comes to John, and he comes to James, and he says, let's go for a walk. Let's go up the mountain. Let's go and pray together. And while they are there, the transfiguration happens. And these people who everyone said they were, this Moses and Elijah, appear. And Jesus is having a conversation with these very people, these great prophets. And Peter is overwhelmed by the glow that is exuding from Jesus. And everything seems easy again. Everything seems easy, and it seems safe, and it seems guaranteed. If we just stay here and we absorb this energy that is flowing, this spirit that is flowing from Jesus and Elijah and Moses, if we just absorb it all in, things will be good. And so Peter runs to Jesus while this is happening on, going on, and he says, wait, let's just stop and capture this moment forever. Because then we can just be here. We can glow forever. We can be in this space of never having to figure out anything else but know God's love in this perfect moment, in this perfect way. We won't have to figure out the brokenness of the world. We won't have to tell people who you are. We won't have to figure out all the tensions that wait for us out there. We can just be on this mountaintop and in this mountaintop place forever. And it seems so perfect. But then It's gone. In that moment, after the voice disappears, and they're overcome with fear again. And this moment can lead to a number of different things. It can lead to the tension and brokenness in the relationship again. Or it can lead to a way forward. Jesus goes to his disciples. He touches them and he says, "Get up. Do not be afraid." Get up. Do not be afraid. In these words, Jesus is offering to Peter and to James and John, even though they are very much on the sidelines of this story, that the glow they have seen, this story that they have seen played out in front of them, is a story of things to come. That the glow they have experienced here, they cannot stay in that moment. But that glow will always be with them. And so they are to get up and go out and not be afraid, because they have been filled with this spirit that they can bring into this world. So that when the moment comes and another mountaintop experience will happen with Jesus on it, they will know that that will not be the final word. They will know that the things that Jesus has told them have been true. They will know that Jesus has been speaking these truths in a way that have been valid, have power, and have been from God, because they are in the presence of God incarnate. And so as Jesus says to them, "Get up and do not be afraid," he is saying, "Get up and go into the world and bring this glow, bring this moment with you. Get up and go out in the world and don't be afraid of all that is laying out there for you. Because what is out there is not bigger than what you have seen here. What is out there is not bigger than all that I have entrusted to you and laid in you and have given to you. Get up and do not be afraid, because I am with you and the glow will remain." And so, friends, this easy glow is not sustainable. And so when God is saying, and when Jesus is saying to Peter, James, and John, "Get up and go and do not be afraid," he's saying that to us as well. And we don't have to buy the cream to get it. We are called to get up and go. To get up and go and not be afraid of this world around us. But to glow with God's love in such a way that when we get up and go out there and we show that we're not afraid of the brokenness, but we come to bring God's love into it, we are bringing a gift that is so much bigger than anyone could imagine. When we get up and go and don't be afraid, the ways that God can use us will bring a whole different type of mountain experience than we could ever imagine on our own. When we get up and go and are not afraid because the Lord has called us to do so, a whole new transfiguration can happen. So brothers and sisters in Christ, get up and do not be afraid as you glow in the name of the Lord each and every day. And know that you can do this in sustainable and beautiful ways. Because the transfiguration is still happening. And glow. And again, you don't have to buy the cream. In the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer. Amen.